Today we're talking about the stress response, and I have Kenzie Evans on with me, and we're going to talk about the polyvagal theory and the autonomic nervous system. I promise you, it is very pivotal in understanding how our bodies respond to stress in social interactions. When we really understand this, we can teach you strategies for emotional regulation and how to be more resilient. Whether your parents trying to create a calmer environment for your families, or if you're in your own personal growth journey and you just want to understand these principles, stay tuned to find out how to unlock that greater well-being and that emotional balance so you can navigate life's challenges more effectively. Let's jump in. Hey parents, welcome to Fulfillment Therapy. Do you want to raise your kids better and have a stronger marriage? Are you up late at night researching marriage and parenting tools and self-care tips? Do you start each day hoping for deeper connections and less chaos, but it ends with family arguments and going 12 different directions again? My name's Kendra, wife, mom, therapist, and growth enthusiast. It wasn't until I discovered how to fulfill my unmet needs that I was finally able to show up as my best self, as a spouse and parent. I realized that by meeting my needs, I could more fully meet the needs of my family with more energy and less resentment. In this podcast, I teach parents skills like boundary setting, prioritizing personal needs, communication, and claiming ownership. Just like my clients, you'll be shocked by the improvement in your marriage, parenting, and personal life when you focus on fulfilling your important unmet needs. Ready to prioritize yourself so you can quit mentally throat-punching people? Then grab those earbuds and head outside, and let's rock and talk. I just want to welcome back Kenzie Evans to episode number 102. She talked a little bit about the nervous system and being really intrigued by it. So this is something that she wanted to speak to today. And I thought, hey, why not? This is something that I haven't talked a lot about. So I thought this would be a great opportunity to do it, especially because it's something that she's really interested in. So there's two things that we're going to talk about today. The autonomic nervous system and the polyvagal theory, which ties right into this, and how these things will better help us understand our physiological reactions, as well as learn better strategies for that emotional regulation. I know that's something that we all want, especially when there's a lot of big feelings in families. Again, Kenzie, welcome back. Thank you for being here. It's so great to have you on, as always. You're such a joy, and it brings a fun energy to have a reoccurring guest.
Kendra, thank you. You know I love to come on here and just chat with my friend, basically. That's what this feels like.
I know. I really love it. I look forward to it all the time. And it's kind of nice not just talking to myself in my little office. So thank you for that.
Thank you. It's such a blast.
I mentioned earlier that this is something that resonated with you that you really wanted to talk about, this topic for today. Before we jump into the ins and outs of it, I was wondering why you are drawn to this topic and how you think it would help our listeners.
Yeah, I would love to answer that question. So this was something that I didn't know anything about. So as I was trying to heal in my life, I remember I tend to be a positive thinker, right? Uh-huh. Optimistic. It comes generally easy for me. But I remember there was this point in my life after I had my three boys and I was sick and I didn't have any answers at that point and nothing was working for me. And so I felt overwhelmed. And I remember going to my normal avenues. And it wasn't helpful. So exercise, because of my chronic illness, exercise actually made it worse. And that really brought me down. I felt overwhelmed because in my life before it had been like, just exercise, just do it and you'll feel better. Well, I was just doing it and it would knock me out for days. I would be sick and I couldn't function. And so then I'm like, well, now what do I do? Because exercise isn't working. It's making me feel worse. But then not exercising is making it hard on my mental health. And so I was like trying to navigate all of this. So then I would listen to self-help coaches, which I believe that they have so much goodness and so much wisdom to offer. But I remember listening to them and them saying, you have control over your thoughts. You have the power to change your thoughts. And I remember being like, well, if that's the case, why am I struggling so much right now? And why is this so difficult for me? And I would just try. And then I got into therapy, and that's where cognitive behavioral therapy was introduced to me. And it was a tender mercy because the book that I had ordered at the suggestion of my therapist had this excerpt in it that specifically talked about toxic positivity, I believe is what it's called. And I'm sure a lot of people have heard that phrase, but they went into how toxic positivity can actually make things worse because you're not allowing for space for reality. And I was like, it like settled on me because I was like, that is it. I have this like chronic optimistic brain. So even if it's like, okay, I am sick in bed, I'm not feeling well, it's like, well, everything's fine. It's okay. It could be worse. It could be like in that I would invalidate myself. And like my subconscious was taking it as, well, it doesn't matter then, right? Like what you're experiencing isn't important. And it would like put me into this depression that I wasn't sure why was coming on. So toxic positivity, and then learning how to actually rework my thoughts in a way that allowed space for reality, as well as making it more empowering. So for me, say I was sick, instead of being like, I'm not feeling good and it's okay, it could be worse, it was like the way that cognitive behavioral therapy had me rework it was, I'm not feeling good and I'm tired. That doesn't make me a lazy person. That doesn't make me a bad person. And I need rest, and that's okay. Right. So like allowing space and then giving myself permission to give myself what I actually needed was so life-changing for me. So then as I'm continuing to do this work, I got on medication, I started therapy, I'm working on cognitive behavioral therapy. And I remember when I got on medication, it slowed my thoughts down enough that I was starting to see these subconscious thought patterns that I wasn't consciously aware of. And I was like, okay, so I was listening to these coaches that are like, change your thoughts, change your thoughts. So on the surface, I'm changing these thoughts, but they're not the real issue, right? It's these underlying subconscious habitual thoughts that are running my behaviors, what I'm doing, how I'm approaching life. And so I just felt like there was this disconnect. And so then I came across learning about the autonomic nervous system and the fight, flight, freeze response. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is what I've been missing this whole time. And that I think is what has led me to this point and why I feel like it's so important, because I feel like there's not a lot of information out there. And I think it would really benefit people to learn more about this.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you shared that with me, because it's helpful to hear somebody else's perspective, like a client, and how it helped them and why it helped them. So I'm excited with that lens to kind of go into it today. But before I do that, I wanted to mention something. I thought it was really interesting that you mentioned toxic positivity, because just this week, it was coming up with several clients. And I was like, you know what, I need to do a training on this. And I will do a future episode that's already in the works. I'm going to give you the definition and I'll give you a quote that goes well with it. Toxic positivity is the overemphasis on positive thinking and the avoidance or denial of negative emotions or situations, often resulting in the invalidation of genuine feelings and experiences. So kind of like what you said, and I'll admit, when the first time I heard the word toxic positivity, I'm like, That is just a word somebody made up that's really cynical and wants to feel better about themselves. So I was humbled a little when I read this because this comes up a lot, especially in religious cultures. And I'm not saying that these are terrible cultures. I'm just saying there's the good and bad elements of any culture. And this can be the negative one sometimes. And then along with that, the quote says, this is by Dr. Jamie Zuckerman. And it says, toxic positivity can be incredibly harmful because it invalidates genuine emotions and experiences, leading to suppression and denial rather than healthy processing, which is exactly what I'm seeing in my clients.
Well, and for me, I feel like the toxic positivity kept me from actually taking steps toward healing, toward making changes, because when you invalidate the discomfort, the real actual impact that someone else's behavior has on you, the real impact that chronic illness has on you, the real impact that toxic relationships have on you, and you spin it to, it's really not that bad. It could be worse. It keeps you in a place of denial. And it keeps you in a place of not being an agent. So I feel like what's so interesting is I agree with you. I think I've seen this really show up in religious cultures, but I feel like it's antithetical to what the doctrine actually teaches, right? Which is to be agents unto ourselves, to take steps to improve our situations. And I think that that's where the toxic positivity comes in, is because when you are just changing your thoughts, you're not actually taking action to change your situation, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course. I'm glad you brought in several different things. I don't think when I first started therapy, like just as a client, that I understood there were so many modalities, so many theories, so many lenses to look through it. And some will speak to you at different times. Like you mentioned ANS, the autonomic nervous system, and through that lens, or through CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, or trauma therapy. There's all of these different things that might resonate with us at different times. On that note, let's dive in, if you're okay with it, to ANS.
Yes.
Did you want to get started on that, or do you want me to kind of break that down a little bit?
So I would love to hear what you have to say. And if I have anything else to add, I'll throw that in.
So yeah, no problem. Of course. Often with these things, I have to go back and relearn a lot of things because I forget different elements. But for ANS, I'm just going to refer to it like that from now on. It's too long to say. It really boiled down to the little bits of it. It's just talking about involuntary bodily functions. So that's things like heart rate and digestion and respiratory rate. Now, when I was researching this, I'm like, well, we know that some people can control heart rate and stuff, but this is when they're really aware and really focused on it. But generally, these are things that we don't think about. They just happen. And then there's two branches. So it's the sympathetic nervous system and then the parasympathetic nervous system. And these are important. Like when I first learned about this, the first time a colleague, another counselor was telling me about this, I'm like, this sounds like math. This is not my cup of tea, but there is a reason. So let me explain. So the sympathetic nervous system and then the parasympathetic nervous system, they do different things. And one of them, they just play a really important role in maintaining physiological balance and your environment. So why is that important? I just want to go slightly deeper with polyvagal theory, because I feel like this breaks it down really well. And they kind of get into how that has to deal with mental health. So what this is there's some nerve, which is in your brainstem, and that mediates between different physiological states. So this is where safety and connection, or like social engagement, comes into play. And I'll explain this a little bit more later, but how you talked about, Kenzie, about the fight or flight. It talks about that and about freeze and how these are all different parts of the nerve.
And can I add to that picture too?
Yeah, go for it.
So you were talking about the brainstem. So what I want people to consider here is we have the different layers of the brain, right? Mm-hmm. So like right here by our forehead, we have the frontal cortex, right? Mm-hmm. And that is our conscious brain. That's where we're like aware of the thoughts that are going on. We can see what's happening there. And then you go deeper, right? And that mm-hmm. becomes subconscious, things that happen without your conscious awareness. Exactly. So we have the prefrontal cortex right here. Mm-hmm. And then the deeper you go, you've got like your limbic system, which is like the mid part of your brain. And then like what you're talking about, Kendra, is your brainstem. And I just want to point out to people, because this was really important for me and really validating for me, is that your brainstem controls the most basic, most automatic, most important parts of your body's functioning. So you've got, like you were saying, Kendra, your breathing, heart rate, blinking, just things that happen without you guys having to think about it. That's where that's happening. And that is where your autonomic nervous system resides. So it was so important for me, because to me, I had been told by life coaches, you're responsible for your thoughts. You can change your thoughts. But when you understand that your fight, flight, freeze response happens in this most primitive part of your brain, it's like, oh, aha, a light goes off of like, okay, no, this is automatic. I go into my fight, flight, freeze response automatically, just like my breathing happens automatically, just like my blinking happens automatically, just like my heart rate happens automatically. These responses are automatic. And that was so important for me, because I had felt this disconnect of like, well, if we have all control over our thoughts, then why are so many people still struggling? Why am I still reacting and responding in a way that I'm like, what is going on? Like I don't feel like I consciously chose that. Ah, because our fight, flight, freeze response happens automatically. So I just want people to see that, because I think it's very important. As I say that, I don't want to also justify poor behavior in the name of the fight, flight, freeze response. And that's why I think this work is so important, because the fight, flight, freeze response happens automatically. And if you don't gain awareness around how it shows up in your body, then you do react from a place of subconsciousness, and you can harm other people. And that's why this is so important, because there are things you can do as you come to understand this automatic system in your body to help you to be more responsive versus reactive. And so, yeah, I just wanted to build on that. Picture your conscious brain here, your midbrain here, which is like your emotional brain, and then your brainstem, which is at the bottom, and it's your automatic lifeline part of your brain. And that is where your fight, flight, freeze response resides.
I'm so glad that you brought that up. And there's a few things that you said that are really important that I appreciate you expounding on. You said it's primitive. I completely agree. It's like that animal part of our brain, that lower part of our brain that just kicks in. It's just automatic. There's not much that we can do about it. I think the key here, which we'll get more into in just a second, is just an awareness of what's happening. And I know we're also going to talk about this in just a little bit, but also the shame aspect. If we can understand these things, we can eliminate or minimize that shame. Stay tuned next time for part two with Kenzie Evans. You're not going to want to miss it. Hey friends, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, chances are someone else would too. Would you take 30 seconds to share this with a friend who's looking for greater family fulfillment? And while you're sharing, tell me what you think about the show by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. It refuels me when I hear this podcast is helping you. No matter what your house or your hair looks like, I'll meet you back here every Monday and Thursday morning for more episodes. Until then.